Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hey listeners, it's Chris Cameron here again from Transforming Bodies, the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast. And today we're talking about something that absolutely isn't plastic surgery, but I came across Kim's story online and reached out to her, and I thought, oh my God, this is a story that we really need to share, because there but for the grace of God go I, because I had this, it's all about mesh basically, mesh for pelvic, I guess, restoration or whatever you want to call it. But I was offered this by a surgeon years and years ago, and just it just didn't sit right with me, and I didn't have it done. And of course, I had some complications down the track, and you know, did other things instead. But today, I'm going to share with you, Kim's going to share her story, that the complete disaster that's happened to her, which is just absolutely breaks my heart, all because of this treatment or this mesh treatment that she had done years ago. So welcome, Kim.
Hi, Trish.
Hi. So we're actually lucky to actually even have you. Like, you're kind of lucky to even be here, aren't you?
Yes, I am. So like, it's been a long story, yep.
Yeah. Well, look, tell us, first of all, how did it start? So obviously you had pelvic problems. Like, how does your story start? Like, how many, do you have children, and how old were you when issues happened? Like, where did it actually start?
Well, it all started, I've got three children, and they were all very large babies, so they were all probably 10 pounds or more, and long and involved labours. So following that, my last child was born in 2001, and following that I had quite extensive what's called a pelvic organ prolapse. So I had a prolapse of my uterus, my bladder and my bowel, and that caused me significant problems.
Did you have a natural childbirth?
Yeah, I had three. My first one was actually a forceps delivery. And my surgeon said to me then that that's probably when a lot of the damage was done, because there was a lot of sort of damage done to my perineum and birth canal delivering the babies.
Wow. And so how long after your last child, or after your first child, when did you start having problems or know that something was wrong? And what were those problems?
So my last child was born in 2001, and probably within about 3 or 4 months following that birth, I had all sorts of problems. So I had problems where my uterus was kind of bulging into my vagina, so was my bowel and my bladder. So I had problems when I was passing a bowel motion. I had lots of lower back pain, groin pain, and just general discomfort. So I actually sought out, you know, I was only 36 at the time, but they were causing me significant problems, given that I worked as a paramedic. I had to stand for long hours, so I needed to have something done about it.
Mm-hmm. So what was your first step? So you went to the doctor, got a referral to a...
I've got a referral to a urogynecologist. Mm-hmm. So I went and saw him. And the first gynecologist I saw, he said, look, there's a procedure that we can do. It's called a Birch Colpo suspension, which used my natural tissue. But he said to me that the recovery was probably 3 to 6 months. I had quite small children at that stage. My youngest was not even 12 months. I've also got a daughter who was 2.5 at the time with special needs. So I really didn't want to have like 6 months out of action where I couldn't lift or anything like that. So I chose to get a second opinion from another urogynecologist.
What was that first procedure called that he wanted to do?
He wanted to do a Birch Colpo suspension.
Birch Colpo suspension.
Yes, a big long medical name. So pretty much they use sutures and my own tissue to hitch up the uterus and the bladder and the bowel back to where they are. So they would stitch the uterus up into part of my pelvis, the same with my bowel and my bladder.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so but that looking was back, not an option because of the recovery time, because it was about 6 month recovery, yeah?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, there could be no lifting. I couldn't drive for like nearly 2 months. You know, small children. So I kind of thought, well, Perhaps I'll go and get a second opinion. So I actually went and had another referral to another urogynae, and I went and saw him, and he showed me this small piece of what's called, I now know as transvaginal mesh. So it's a mesh that looks like gauze, or like very fine fly screen. And it was a new product on the market. He told me that, you know, he would pop that in and I'd be good to go within 6 weeks. It was a new product. He didn't actually tell me what it was. He didn't actually tell me any of the side effects. But given that he said, look, I've done this multiple times, no problems with it. So pretty much within 3 weeks, I'd booked in to have the surgery.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's like, I know when it was proposed to me, it was like going to solve all of my problems with product uterus, because what they're going to do is they're going to put a mesh underneath that was just going to lift everything up, and you know, everything was going to be kind of hunky-dory from there. And I guess that's probably what you thought, oh well, that way it's only a quicker recovery.
Exactly. Yeah, quick recovery. I could be back doing what I needed to do, you know, attending with my families, doing the activities that I was doing prior. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. Well, tell us. So, what happened there? So you decided to book in for the vaginal mesh surgery.
Yep.
Okay. You must have been pretty excited, because this is going to solve all your problems.
Yes, I was. You know, because I work in the medical field and I knew the doctor, so I was trusting of him. I didn't think I needed to do a lot of research back then, because he had assured me that it was fine. He told me there was next to no problems, you know, less than 1% of any problems with this mesh. So there I was, ready to have the surgery. But pretty much from when I woke from the surgery, I had problems from then. I woke up in extreme pain that they couldn't control. I was supposed to be only in the operating theatre for about 30 minutes to an hour. I ended up being down in recovery for anything up to 6 hours, and my partner was quite worried about me up on the ward. And when I eventually came back up into the ward, I was in all sorts of pain, and it sort of continued from there.
Wow. So basically you woke up in pain and it didn't stop?
No, it didn't stop.
Wow. What year was this, by the way?
This was in 2006, so mesh was actually very, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so mesh was very, very new in Australia at that point. It had the pharmaceutical companies were bringing it in from America, and apparently there'd been lots of surgery for this type of implant, and so we went from there. But on the second day, when I actually managed to get out of bed again in quite extreme pain, I actually found that I'd had really large bruises on my buttocks with puncture wounds. And when I queried with the nursing staff and my doctor, I said, well, what was that caused from? And they said to me, oh, that's where they implanted the mesh. And they actually then said, oh, there's great big trocars, which are like big knitting needles with points on the end. Mm-hmm. And this mesh that I had is, and my partner describes it as like a big shade sail, you know, like in the playgrounds where it's tensioned in, you know, 4 or 5 places. So that's what they do with mesh. And so it sits in your pelvis, underneath your bladder and your uterus and your bowel, and it lifts it all up. And it had, my particular mesh was a big prolift for pelvic organ prolapse. They also use mesh for stress urinary incontinence, which is a little piece of mesh, but mine was a great big one. It had 6 big arms. So those big wounds were actually from big trocars that actually pushed through my muscle and out into the skin to tension this mesh.
Wow. God. All right, so you were in pain from the time you came out of surgery. Where to from there? Like, did you think it was just the pain from the surgery, and like how did it, because I know you had a pretty rapid decline from there, because it's 2019 now and this is 2006, 13 years. So what happened next?
So, yeah, it pretty much I was discharged at the end of the week, 7 days in hospital, told, yep, that it was surgical pain, that it would get better. I'd had 6 weeks off of work, was sort of told that I was good to go, but I had pain constantly. I had shooting pains down my legs. I had all sorts of pain in my groin. And I went back for my 6-week check, and my gynecologist said to me, no, it's all good, it's all healing well. And I said, well, I've still got pain, I'm still unable to go to work. So I had to take a further 6 weeks off work. Still with extensive pain, couldn't stand for long, couldn't sit for long. Had all sorts of problems in my groin. So I actually, probably 2 weeks after that, I went back and saw my GP and I said, look, I'm having all sorts of problems with this surgery that I've had. And he did an internal and he actually found that there was actually mesh, part of this mesh implant eroding into my vagina.
After how long?
This was after 8 weeks.
Wow.
8 weeks.
It's like your body kind of ate it up.
Well, pretty much. And now that I've done some research, what was actually happening was this mesh had actually triggered a huge foreign body response in my body, and my body was actually trying to get it. A bit like a splinter, you know how you get a splinter in your finger and your body tries to get rid of it. So that's pretty much what my body was doing. But it was a whole systemic approach. So it was affecting my joints, it was affecting, you know, my hips, my back and all that sort of thing. So, and it actually had started eroding through my vagina. So that was my body pretty much saying that it didn't want that in it and it was getting it out anyway I did. So I went back and saw my gynecologist and said, look, it's eroding out of the side of my vagina. He said, oh, look, you know, this never happens to anyone. We'll just snip it. So he did a snip in his surgery of the mesh in my vagina. It was excruciatingly painful. And he pretty much told me, take 2 Panadol and you'll be right. And I had a 3-hour drive back home to my hometown, which was 3 hours from there, and in excruciating pain.
Jesus. And that was, so how long after the surgery was that? That was like within the first year.
Yep. And I actually went back because pretty much every 6 weeks to 3 months, a piece of that mesh had eroded into my vagina time and time again to the point where I had excruciating pain. I could actually feel the mesh. My partner, when we were intimate, not that we were intimate very often because I had so much pain, he could actually feel that mesh as well with his penis. So, you know, so over that next 12 months, I went back and forth probably every 6 to 8 weeks and had part of this mesh trimmed. I had it either trimmed in the surgery or I went back and I had another general anaesthetic. And that went on for years and years and years till about 2010 when I had my last surgery with his gynecologist. I went back for my 6-week check. He said, look, we're all good to go. And then within another week, I had had erosion. I rang the surgery and his secretary told me that he'd retired.
Oh my God. Now by this time, like this is enough. This is where you start to think, oh my God, like, is this going to be my life? Like, and I know you had a lot of mental health problems. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I did. I because I was in constant pain and I couldn't sit and I couldn't stand, I couldn't do anything with my children. You know, I used to be an avid cycler. I used to walk. We used to go swimming and stuff like that. But I got to the point where I couldn't even lift my children. So by this stage, my youngest child was only 4. You know, and I couldn't do. I was pretty much housebound and bedridden. You know, I did the things that I needed to do, but they were very, very, you know, very, very limited. I was lucky that I had a very, very supportive partner because I pretty much started going into a state of depression and thinking, you know, I really don't know where to go from now. You know, my doctor had retired. I was very desperate and felt that, look, I needed to get this mesh out, but I didn't know how. I went to several doctors in Australia, probably 4. And they all told me that that if I was to have my mesh removed, that it would involve probably removing part of my bowel and I'd end up with a colostomy bag and they'd probably need to remove my bladder and I'd end up with a urostomy bag, which just compounded the depression and the anxiety that I had.
Crikey. How old were you? And how old were you at this stage?
So I was, so that was 4 years. So I was only just turned 40 at that
Jesus.
Stage.
God. How old are you now?
So I'm 52 now. Yeah.
So, wow, that's just like crazy. So you have been through this hell journey. So tell us about the progress from there. Because I know that, you know, there came a time when you became, or as you would. I know what it's like to live in pain. I was in pain for 6 months and I wanted to pop myself. I just had enough. I was like, well, if this is my life, this is not what I want. So
that's exactly how I felt.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's exactly how I felt. And because it was something that people couldn't see, you know, everyone kind of said to me, you look great, you look great, you know, but, you know, I would put on a great face when I was out. But, you know, 9 times out of 10 when I was home, I was curled up in a ball in my bed. I couldn't, you know, or I had to be laying down on the lounge. So at that stage, I thought, surely I'm not the only one. Surely I'm not the only one. So I actually started searching on social media for support groups. And I came across 2 support groups, one in New Zealand called Mesh Down Under and one in Australia called the Australian Pelvic Mesh Support Group. And from there I met quite a few ladies who had been pretty much through the same thing as I had and were told that they were the only ones, but, you know, there was some support that I found. And if I hadn't found those support groups, I really don't think that I would be here today to tell this story.
I totally believe you because we have a support group and I know how valuable it was for me during my, you know, well, that's how it all started for me.
That's exactly right.
So tell me, obviously this is a lot more prevalent than what we know. It's like one of those silent, not diseases, but like one of those silent things that nobody talks about because you can't see it. You know, it's something that's, you know, it's and I know that you were told this at one point. You were told that it's all in your, you know, it was all in your head.
I was.
What happened with that? What the hell was that about?
So, you know, every time I went back to my doctor, he kept saying, look, you're the only one. Surely it can't be that bad. Look, you know, he actually sent me to a psychologist because he said, look, I'm pretty sure that this pain, you know, you're not experiencing any pain. I can't see why you are experiencing any pain. You need to go and see a psychologist because I really think that you're starting to lose it. I actually thought that I was starting to lose it, but not because I was mentally incompetent, but because I was in a world of pain. I didn't feel that I was getting any answers, you know, and I just really didn't know where to go to from there.
Yep. So where did you go?
So luckily, the ladies that I found online were just an amazing support. They were all in the same group, so we all knew where everyone came from. You know, and talking about your vagina and that type of thing is really a taboo subject, but to these ladies, it wasn't. So I followed, and there was a couple of ladies that I on this support group that had actually been to the USA to have their mesh removed. So I followed their journey, and I became really friendly with another girl from South Australia. Who was going in the September, so this was in 2015, and she was going in September to the USA to have removal from this doctor, Dr. Ronicus. So I followed her journey, and pretty much when she came back from America at the end of September, I said, right, no, this is what I've got to do. I've got a one and only chance to get this whole mess out. So I made plans to go to America, but that in itself was just huge, you know. I had to travel to the other side of the world. My partner, who has no medical background, I took him as my carer. We couldn't get any travel insurance that covered me while I was over there. And it was $50,000 up front pretty much before I could even walk in the door of the hospital over there.
Jesus Christ. And you know what? You're going to beg, borrow or steal to just, you know, like to do that to save your life. Like
I did. I remortgaged my house pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, just extended my mortgage. And, you know, and I was petrified. You know, I'd almost convinced myself that I was actually going to die during this operation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a foreign country. You know, if something went wrong, I wasn't covered medically. You know, everybody that I loved was on the other side of the world. So, you know, even the week before I was to go, I said to my partner, look, I don't know that I can do this. And he took me and he looked me in the eyes and he said, Kim, you've got one chance at this. And you know that this guy is the best in the world. So we need to go. And so we went.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. I mean, how good that you had someone like, you know, that your husband was so, I mean, obviously he's seen what it's been like for you for the last however many years. He would have done anything to, you know.
Yeah, he would have. Help. You know, he'd seen me struggle. He said, you know, Kim, you can't go on like this. You know, I was worried, you know, the doctors here in Australia were worried about organ perforation, you know, because it was embedded in my bladder, you know, all sorts of sepsis and stuff like that. So we made the journey to St. Louis, USA. And so we flew over, into St. Louis on the Monday. We had a day to recover from jet lag, et cetera. And then I had a full medical workup on the Wednesday, where the American medical system is just a huge, you know, unknown.
Yep.
But they were amazing. And then on the Thursday, because I had to have quite extensive surgery, we went in for like bowel prep. So it wasn't any holiday. You know, it was pretty much the whole thing was on it for a medical. And then Friday I went in for surgery.
Wow. And so tell us about that surgery and how, and like, is it an ongoing thing? And like, what year was that, by the way, just to get it into perspective?
Yeah. So this was mid-January 2016.
Okay. So this is 10 years after this all started. So you've been living that existence for 10 years. So you've got your babies going from, you know, 2 years old to 12 years old in this time. So, yeah. They've become teenagers. Jesus.
Yep. And all they knew pretty much was their mum in a world of pain.
Yeah.
You know, and a mum that couldn't go out and run with them, and I couldn't go out bike riding with them. And I couldn't even go, we couldn't even walk around, you know, a park or anything because I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
So that was the mum that they knew, and that's not the mum that they wanted.
Yeah.
So, you know, the surgery was 6.5 hours long. Extensive surgery, but I have to say that the guy that I went to, he was an amazing guy. I've never met a medical professional like him, and he was able to remove all of my mesh bar two tiny little pieces that were actually attached to like vessels, so to veins in my body. And he said that it was actually too dangerous to remove those, because if he removed that, then there was a fair chance that I could actually bleed to death. So 6.5 hours of surgery, of course, with my partner, you know, pacing the corridors of the hospital, you know, waiting. But as soon as the surgery was finished, this Dr. Veronicus was just an amazing man, came out, said to him, look, the surgery was longer, but I think I've got it all. She'll be in recovery. I had a huge vaginal pack in and catheter, and I was in hospital 24 hours pretty much.
And so by this time, you've actually, like, you're still in... You're in America.
Yep.
And you're just like
hanging around a hotel pretty much. Recovering. Yeah.
And how, you know, where's your kids? Your kids, you had to.
So my kids are back home. So, you know, we kept in contact every day by Skype or FaceTime. But, you know, the time difference. I mean, I had some amazing ladies in Australia supporting me from the support group. They were great sending me messages. But I felt so alone and so. You know, I was in pain from the surgery. I was still in pain from the mesh. And what wasn't explained to me was the way that they actually insert this mesh, it actually damages nerves and muscles within your pelvis. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that damage is permanent. Mm-hmm. So I recovered. I spent another 12 days in America because you're really not allowed to fly post major surgery for 10 to 12 days because there's lots of risk. You know, you can get blood clots in your lungs and all that type of thing. So we pretty much just hung around in a hotel room for the next 12 days while I recovered. And then we made the huge journey back to Australia.
Wow. And so basically it's been 3 years since your surgery. How long before you actually, what happened after that? Did you start to feel better at all?
So probably in the 6 weeks after the surgery, I was very tender, and that was from surgical pain. The pain in my hip had kind of gone, and I thought, oh, wow, I think maybe I may be better. But after about 6 weeks, unfortunately, the pain started coming back. I started to get the pain reoccurring down my leg, had the pain in my groin again. While I was over there, I had spoken to the doctor, and he actually did that birch repair that I had spoken about that I should have had before the mesh.
Oh.
But he said to me, because there was so much damage and scar tissue in my pelvis, he said, look, that could hold for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 6 years, I'm not sure. So pretty much I got to about 6 months and everything collapsed again. So I was back to square one. With a uterine prolapse, a bowel prolapse, a bladder prolapse, and I was becoming more and more incontinent. And I had not even leaked a drip prior to this surgery in 2006. So that's where I pretty much ended up. So I'm now 3 years down the track. And while I'm so glad that the mesh is gone because that it can't cause any more damage, but I'm left with the permanent disability of pain in my leg, I now have quite advanced osteoarthritis, so it's the foreign body response that it triggered has affected my joints. I'm highly allergic to all types of things. I fatigue easily, you know, the list goes on.
Yeah, right. And so where to, like, is there any light at the end of the tunnel, or this is a matter of your new life and you kind of learn to live with it?
Well, it is a kind of matter of it's my new life, and it's not just my life, it's thousands of women's lives in Australia who thought that they were going in for a really quick fix, something that would sort them and they'd be up and they'd be better than they were before. But unfortunately, you know, every day I get messages from more and more women saying that they've undertaken this surgery and it's left them in a world of pain. And I hear my journey time and time and time again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, yeah. So I need to have reconstructive surgery, but I've got to a point where I really don't know who to trust because I've lost a lot of trust in the medical profession.
Would a hysterectomy help, or is it's kind of lower than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lower than that. And in fact, you know, a lot of women, when they have a hysterectomy, it actually causes this prolapse problem because the uterus actually can hold a lot of stuff up. You take out the uterus and then, you know, the bowel will prolapse again or the bladder will prolapse. And the surgeon that I went to in America actually said, like, you know, if you can hang on to your uterus as long as you can, unless it's diseased or something like that, he said, don't let anybody do a hysterectomy, he said, because your problems will probably end up, you know, 10 times worse. So I'm really kind of stuck. I wear pads, two or three pads a day, you know, big nappies. You know, it's embarrassing. You know, I've pretty much lost all bladder control. I've lost bowel control and I live in a world of pain.
Wow. I'm just like... my head is just like spinning. Like I mean, I've read your story, but to hear it, it's just even more, you know, because I'm really close to your age, and I think, oh my God, that could just have been me. And I know how well I don't manage pain, and I just don't know. But I guess the only consolation for you now is helping other people, isn't it? Like it's sort of like it can be the only positive that could come out of it is just an ability to help other people and know where they're at. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's quite large support groups worldwide now. You know, we contact people in the UK, in the USA. I'm one of the co-founders of a not-for-profit organisation here that was started up last year with three other amazing women who are mesh injured as well. And that's what we do now, is provide support and education to women and men, because there's problems now coming out with hernia mesh and stuff.
Really?
It's the actual product. The product is polypropylene and it's really not designed to go in the body. You know, and it's about informing women, you know, to get that proper informed consent, you know, and ask lots of questions, you know. You know, because the mesh goes hard and pretty much once it's implanted, it's a permanent implant and it is very, very difficult to remove. In fact, my doctor in America said it's a bit like getting Rio rod out of concrete. Mm-hmm. It's that hard. So, yeah, so that's what our mission is now, is to – I would love to see all mesh at least suspended pending some safety and efficacy. Last year we had a Senate inquiry. Darren Hinch was pretty much the only politician that would listen, mm-hmm. and he launched a Senate inquiry, and there was 13 recommendations that came from that Senate inquiry. But unfortunately they're not rules, and at the moment the big – pelvic organ prolapse meshes that I had and lots of other women have had, they've actually been withdrawn from the market. A lot of people say that they're banned, but they're not actually banned, they've been withdrawn. Mm-hmm. But doctors are still able to implant this, the small mesh, but they quite often call it ribbon and tape and etc. Mm-hmm. But what I can't say enough to women is true informed consent. You know, the TGA has got a list of these complications on their website. Mm-hmm. And any person that's considering any implant surgery, especially mesh, should be given all of that information. Mm-hmm. you know, because I don't want another woman to go through what myself and thousands of other women have gone through.
Yeah. And is there something on your, like, give us a plug for your, like, is there somewhere that women could go on your website that they can download something that's going to give them, like, easy questions to ask or like anything like that? Or is there a way that they can, you know, can you tell us how people can get in contact with you if they want to?
Yeah, so I'm a co-founder of Mesh Injured Australia. So that's, like I said, it's a not-for-profit organisation. So we have a website and a Facebook page, and we also connect you into a lot of the Mesh support groups. But also on our webpage, Mesh Injured Australia, there's a lot of information about questions to ask your doctor, informed consent, and all the information that you would need to make that decision as to whether you have that surgery or not.
Yeah.
So, and there's also, we all also have a 1-800 meshed number. So we have a volunteer that mans that, where people can ring up and we'll guide you with getting the support and the help you need.
Yep. All right. So that's meshinjuredaustralia.org.au?
.org.au, yes.
Awesome. Oh, look, Kim, I've got to say, I can't thank you enough for taking the time and for actually even, you know, responding to my reach out to you, because I was like, oh, my God, we, like, this just needs to be heard more and more and more, because, like, you know, like, number one, you're not alone. And I can't stress myself the value of support groups, because when I was going through my own thing, there were no support groups online. And I know that if I had been speaking to someone, you know, like me, I may never have started plastic surgery up. But apart from that, that's what I wanted. I wanted to speak to someone who'd been in the same position. I knew there was more people that were like, you know, I couldn't have been the only one that was going through this. And as it turned out, that's exactly the case. So it's about women, or about being able to speak to others that are in the same position, because imagine if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have even gone, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be where you're at now. Not like, do you know
that's
what I
mean? Exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's about getting the word out and giving women and yeah. other and men the information that they can't get easily. And yeah. it's about providing support, you know, on the good days and the not so good days, you know. So, you know, I can't stress how important those women have been to me in my journey, because, yeah. you know, I wouldn't be here today without them.
Yeah. And having your voice heard, and also the power
validated.
Of the people.
Yeah.
And the power of the people. Like, if this is, you know, if this is wrong, well, then it shouldn't be happening. And the only way that we can find out if it's wrong is by, you know, people's experiences, really, which is unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Like, no one intentionally, you know, puts something in thinking it's going to be bad, you know what I mean? It's just
no, it's
you
not know, but it's... unfortunately that information isn't readily accessible, and that's yeah. why we've formed our group and why we have support groups, so that people can come to us even if they're contemplating this type of surgery mm-hmm. and get the information that they need so that they can make an informed decision about their care and their treatment type thing.
Awesome. Yep, totally agree.
Excellent.
Well, look, thank you so much, Kim. It's been an absolute delight talking to you. If there's anything that you ever, you know, want us to put out there in our community, we're more than happy to. And, you know, like just reach out as well. And, yeah, we're more than happy to.
Thank you for the opportunity today, Trish.
Thanks, Kim. So, listeners, look, it's meshinjuredaustralia.org.au. You can type the URL in, you can Google them. Who I've been speaking to today is Kim. And as she said, there's a whole bunch of support groups out there and a whole bunch of info on the website. So I suggest definitely have a read of it, even just to know about this silent thing that's happening that we don't hear about. So, yeah, just Google it and, you know, do your research. So thank you so much for joining us today, Kim.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.